All right, let's pray and we'll get into the word for today. Lord, right now we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, we ask you right now to consecrate our minds, sanctify our minds, to understand your word, to walk therein, to be changed thereby. We got to have focused, sober minds now because these are serious times to try men and souls. This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for weak people. This is not for people who are full of doubt, fear, and unbelief. It's a real devil, a real engagement going on, a real dragon is walking the earth now. And you got to have some strong saints, armor clad, who know what they believe in and whom they believe, to stand in a wicked, perverse, and a totally distraught and dying generation. Somebody's got to have the intestinal fortitude to stand and proclaim the truth of God's word and not flinch. God, bring these folks to the forefront. We need to see them out here on the battlefield for real. Folks who have spent time with God, that know their God, and according to Daniel, they're able to do exploits. Those that know their God will be strong in the end and do exploits. It's a knowing of God that gives us the intestinal fortitude to stand in these trying times. God, raise up a new kind of person, somebody that won't faint in the battle. The Bible says if we faint in adversity, it's because our strength is small. We faint at these foot soldiers. When the horsemen come, we won't have a chance. God, we need a new breed of saint, a new breed of Christian, somebody that believes the word and doesn't just read it. We got to have some folk that are for real. And only you know where they are. You told Elijah there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Bring them to the forefront now. We got to bring these folk out of these caves and out of these hiding places and out of their prayer closets. We need them on the front line. It's time to call up the reserves now and bring them to the limelight and on the forefront. We've seen the rest. Now it's time for the best. We've been to the welterweights and the bantamweights and the light heavyweights. Now we need the heavyweights. The folk that got it for real and are not just talking it, but they demonstrated. God, raise them up to the forefront. Wherever you've got them hidden, bring them out into manifestation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're talking about Gideon. Gideon. We're going to show you Gideon's life and then bridge it across to our lives to show you how God raises up a person from obscurity. The person that you think most unlikely to do this is the one that's called. The one that looks the craziest right now is the chosen one. So you got to get out of the flesh with this. Because you look at somebody negatively thinking they're going down when really they're going up. God deconstructs to raise you up. Did you know that? Yes. Negatives are really positives. They in jail. I know they're going to get saved in jail and be a powerhouse. They had to send them to jail to get them right. They smoking. The saved powerhouse is in the crack house right now. They're on a stripper pole somewhere. And you just look at them like, man, they hopeless. No, the one in church is the hopeless one because they think they got it. See, the church person sitting in church that has been sitting in religion, they're the one that's in serious trouble. The stripper, she's set on go. She's about ready to go and do a work for God. But she's stripping, I know. That's how they kept them away from religion. You better off being a stripper than religious. Did you know that? You better off being a stripper than religious. Man, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Because see, the stripper don't think she's all that. She just try to portray that to folk, trying to be proud. But deep inside, she knows she's butt naked in a room of nasty, stank guys. But she got to act like she's all that in order to compensate for how lowly she feels. But the person in church is proud for real. That's right. See, that's not fake with them. She's trying to project being proud, but the church person is really proud. Remember what the man says? I thank God I'm not like this sinner. But the sinner says, Lord, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. See, that's the person that can make it. But the person full of themselves, especially full of religious pride, that's the worst case scenario. So let's look at how God deals with a person. Let's do a real microscopic study, a life study on Gideon. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and we'll begin with how God called Gideon. and see what happened to him. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So you see, when you do evil, how God does you? He turns you over to Midian, which is a type of the demons. When you're doing something wrong, God gives you to the demons. And the demons basically chew you up and spit you out. You come out of that interaction with those demons different. God, they beat the fool out of you. They level you down to the ground. Because you thought you knew what you were doing. So you become an idolater, idolizing self, and you go to the demons trying to find whatever you're looking for. Acceptance, love, trying to be somebody in the limelight, and the demons level you down to the ground. A lot of people have died that way. Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, Whitney Houston's daughter. It goes on and on. They went to the demons trying to find comfort and solace, and the devil just hacked them to pieces. All the while, God trying to intervene and trying to tell them to come to Jesus to be delivered. If you persist, you'll see that person leveled to the ground. But what happens? You told them. My responsibility is to tell people. Jesus Christ does not infringe on anybody's will. You must choose. You know, your life is just a conglomeration of the choices you made. That's all it is. If you look at your life, you are the sum total of the choices you made. And what choice you make on a daily basis can deter you away from calamity and destruction and lead you into a life of faith, a life of prosperity, and a life of dignity, deterring you away from what the devil's plan was. See, it's a fork always in the middle of the road. Every day there's a fork in the road where you got to make a choice on what path to take. And what path you take and what choice you make will determine the outcome. The devil keeps laying before us blessing and cursing. He always comes, he doubles back over and over again. You know, it's always somebody trying to seduce you. It's always somebody trying to offer you some old trumped up mess. It's every day. You got to take up a cross and die to the world, that Jesus said, daily. Deny yourself and take up your cross every day, because these are choices. The cross is basically a choice where your will crosses God's will. See, Jesus' will was not to die, to try to some way circumvent the cross. That's Jesus' will. Now, if you read the Bible, that was his will in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there's any other way for this cup to pass from before me, Lord, find another way to save these people's souls. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. So you know, if you got two wills in play, you can forget all the teachings of a oneness Pentecostal. Because you got two wills, there got to be two persons. He's subjecting his will to the will of the Father, letting you know they're not the same person. Jesus is united with the Father, but he's not the Father. The Bible says they are united. They are not the same. See, a false doctrine tells you there's one God. That's T.D. Jakes. There's one God manifesting himself three ways. Well, there can't be two different wills then. See how stupid it is? You can't sit at the right hand of yourself. God the Father says, sit thou to my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. You can't sit to the right hand of yourself. That's ignorant. You see how all these doctrines will undermine you, not even using logic. You present that logical presentation to somebody bathed in religion, they will opt for their religious teaching over the word of God. That's what religion does to you. It nullifies the word of God in favor of your membership in your particular religious organization, and it will short circuit the word of God in favor of what you were taught. That's why you got to do what? Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God for yourself. I can enhance what you read. I can kind of magnify it. But if you got no basic baseline for me to build on, you got no way of understanding what I'm telling you. I'll say things from the Bible in the midst of just teaching it, and you got to have some kind of a formulated introduction to what I'm saying as a baseline to understand what I'm telling you. That comes from your own personal study time. You got to establish a personal study time for God to build on the foundation you need to actually enhance the information that you already have embedded in your soul. You know, in a classroom in college, I don't care how much that professor is talking, you got reading assignments. You got personal study time, because he's going to discuss things that's going to enhance what you read in class. If there's no baseline to build on, he's got nothing to work with in you. So you're sitting there looking dumbfounded. An algorithm? What? Have you done this studying, man? Have you read some things? You got a reading assignment from some author. He told you, read this book in the next 4 weeks, have this book read. Now he's in the class now enhancing information based on the book, and you never read the book. You better get back to your Bible and read that Bible for yourself, or you're going to be lost trusting in what somebody told you that was a lie. The pulpits are full of lying preachers, because they just want your money, and they can only get your money by telling you a lie. You better get back to the foundation of the Word of God. That doesn't threaten me. What do I care? I'm not dependent on you to make me look good or believe me. I'm telling you to go get your own. A sincere, authentic presentation of the gospel tells you that you go get it for you. Don't follow me. Don't follow anybody. Get your own inheritance. Get your own salvation. Know the Lord for yourself. Because when you stand before that judgment seat, he's not going to ask you about anybody else. You got to know him for yourself. He says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. That's exactly what's happened to church folk. Because of the demonic invasion, church folks are hiding out in churches. They're in the dens and the caves and strongholds so as not to have to face the enemy for themselves. They set up a pseudo leader, some make-believe preacher over them, and they pretend they're serving God, and everything is designed to keep me out of the conflict. I don't want accountability. I don't want responsibility. I don't want to be numbered as somebody that stands against the devil personally. So I'm in a cave, in a den, in a conclave, hiding out from God. And the bigger the place is, the better the hideout. I can mix into the mega church mess, infiltrate it with my presence, and pretend I'm serving God. You're just hiding from the Midianites, which are a form of the demons. You don't want to get into the battle. You don't want the blood and the guts in the battle, so you hide out in what you call a church house. That's where the people are hiding out. When you present the truth to them, you watch the reaction from them, and that tells you they're not even saved. They're not even saved, because when you introduce truth, they begin to get frenetic. They begin to get energized to stand against it. That's signifying to you this person has not been born again. They're hiding out in religion, in churches, so as not to confront the demonic invasion. Can't you see that there is a demonic invasion afoot on this planet? You can't look at this and tell that over the last 10 years, people's very countenances have changed and become demonic. They're feeding on all the trash that's actually changing them into another kind of organic life type that is diametrically opposed to God. Man is created in the image of God. So the devil's mission is to do what? Change the image. Images house spirits. To house the spirit of God, you got to be what? The image of God. Or the Holy Ghost won't come upon you. The Holy Ghost didn't come upon you before you became born again, because you didn't bear the image of God. So whatever image is in you is filled with the Spirit. How do you get images painted in you? Through ingestion. You're feeding on something that's writing an image in you. It's like a program in a computer. The program in a computer bears the image of the programmer. You know, everything you do that is touched by a man will bear the image of that man. You know, you can tell certain musicians by how they play, because the instrument has become what? Personalized and locked into that person's interpretation of the music. You can have two exactly parallel musical presentations, But the person will interpret it different and it will sound different. Same notes, same sheet music, but that flavor he adds to it or she adds to it is a signature that comes from inside of them. That's the way life is. Everything will bear your signature because you are actually inspired to interpret it. I read the same Bible as everybody else, but you don't hear it the same because it's coming through me the way God has given it to me. That's why there'll be variations in presentations, and it'll help you in different ways. You can have an evangelist preach to you. It's going to impact you different from somebody that's a teacher or a pastor or an apostle or somebody, because an evangelist is somebody that flames the fire. You'll find your inside begin to inflame with an evangelist talking to you. It's designed like that. So everything is designed to accommodate the spirit that comes upon an image. What image is in you? You'll fight God if you bear the image of the Antichrist because you're under the auspices of the spirit of the Antichrist. How do you get the spirit of Antichrist? You meditate upon the Antichrist agenda. You feed on Jay-Z. You feed on the lyrics of Beyonce. You watch the local news. You feed on all the inputs from the devil's kingdom. It creates an image in you, and the spirit fills the image. And when God comes to you, you stand against him. That's why you got to be careful what you see and be careful what you hear. Because it's painting in you, in your mind, images that can be submitted to God or the antithesis of God, which is Antichrist. Church is the domain of hell. Satan governs the church. The church world is an extension of Satan's kingdom that is just the religious arm of Satan's kingdom. That's all it is. That's why when people begin to talk about church, most of them have no idea what they're talking about. People will ask other people, what faith are you? And then they begin to tell you about denominations. I'm Episcopalian, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist. What is that? You find me one of those denominations in the Bible. How can you be all these denominations never mentioned in the Bible one time? And then the Bible tells us explicitly in Ephesians, there's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism. It's only one Holy Ghost. And 5,000 denominations with different belief systems. That's telling you that came from hell. What faith are you? The word faith is the Greek word histos, which means belief. They're asking you what belief are you. And you give them a denominational answer. I'm Episcopalian. See, folks are always fishing to define you. What defines you confines you to that belief system. God is an abstract, living, organic person that's not confined. Your mind has to become abstract to walk with God. And see, to even try to define and interpret what I'm saying takes an abstract mind to understand what I just said. An abstract mind is not limited and bound by anything. It can move and flow. It can adapt. It can accomplish things because it's a mind that's not limited and bound and confined to think in linear thought with granite built around it. Can't get outside of the granite walls I've confined myself to. That's all the indoctrinational practices of religion. You got to be able to ebb and flow in this, move and shake. God's got to be able to anoint you to do things at different times and different places. He'll reach 10 people through you 10 different ways. You can't come with some indoctrinated presentation of data. Notice how Jehovah's Witnesses bring the same thing to your house every time. They've been indoctrinated. Here's this little magazine, the Watchtower. Here's my little spiel they taught me. If you interrupt them, they don't know what to do now. They go crazy like you say, excuse me. Let me ask you a question. They'll go insane. Because they've been taught what? That little presentation, like an insurance salesman or somebody, a vacuum cleaner salesman. They can't operate in relationships dealing with people for real. They're trying to get you to join their cult. So they just give you this little spiel to convince you, not convict you. Convincing somebody is not convicting them. God convicts you to be born again. Religion convinces you to join their organization. That's the difference. I don't have an organization for you to join. you know, I want to be a member of what? Then, well, are you born again? You're a member of the body of Christ. Well, I just want to, you just want to what? You can fellowship here. We can be here. You can be around. But tomorrow you might be gone somewhere else according to God on a mission. That's why the Holy Ghost steps into in a church environment, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to. Lay hands on those boys. See you around.
Amen.
See, it's abstract. You somewhere in the seat talking, but I got to be there at 10:30. I don't want to miss the announcements. Oh, this is a, what's wrong with you? You've been indoctrinated. Church has made you a concrete thinker, and God is trying to break all those chains off of your mind so he can really use you. He can't ride a tied up colt. Jesus didn't ride a colt tied up. He said, go loose the colt so I can ride him. But when you're indoctrinated, organizational structure and membership is all you know. You got to be able to move and shake in this. You got to be able to ebb and flow. He might need you in South Africa tomorrow night. That's how it goes. He tells the apostle, man, go see Cornelius in a dream. Go see Cornelius. Man waving in a dream to Paul in a vision. Come to Macedonia. That's the ebb and flow of the Holy Ghost. We got folks in church bound and chained in prison. And everything I'm saying is totally foreign to them. Because not one time have they ever thought that I'm the guy or woman to do it myself. I saw a lady talking the other day on the internet having a discussion, talking about a subject. I said, forget him, you do it. And she couldn't, her mind was just thrown into chaos. Well, stop talking about him. You do it. Well, I'm just saying that don't bring his name up again. You do it. Can't even process it. People sit in church chained to a pew, never imagining in a million years that they're the one to do it themselves. I got to call somebody to pray for somebody to be healed. I got to call somebody to cast out a devil. That's not germane to the kingdom of God. You should be the participant. These signs follow them that believe, according to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. The signs follow the believer. You speak with new tongues. You cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick, they recover. If you eat or drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. The believer. The believer. It's for every believer. But we have this mindset because we've been crippled in church to be dependent upon somebody else to lead or speak or whatever. Man, you'll never maximize the gifts and callings in your life as long as you're crippled in a pew following somebody. You got to begin to seek God through prayer and fasting to let this thing come alive in you. I'm not here to undermine and cripple folk to follow me. As a matter of fact, man, I don't need nobody following me because I don't need validation and vindication and verification from people. Go do what you do, man. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to stumble and fall. You're going to find yourself in bad situations, having done something wrong. That's how you learn.
That's right.
Car mechanic, man, I done towed this engine up. Lord, that must be. Sir, your engine is destroyed. But I'll order you another one, and we'll get it replaced. Why do you think doctors got insurance? Malpractice insurance. They said, operate. Oh, doggone, I cut his spleen. Lord, I must. I done cut this guy's spleen. Well, sew the thing up, you know, or cut it out. Sir, I'm sorry, you don't have a spleen. Malpractice insurance, because you're going to do what as a human? You're going to make mistakes. You don't glory in the mistakes and get all flustered and frustrated over the mistakes. You learn from them. I done a lot of things casting out devils that was wrong. But, you know, hey, sir, I'm sorry. But if you never get in it, you'll never get anything. To the victor belongs the spoils. You got to get in it. You got to go out here. You'll do things wrong. You'll say the wrong thing here and there. But, hey, God knows. Hey, God, I'm a willing vessel. And I'm willing on the front line to be trained however you want to train me. As a human, I got frailties. I'll make mistakes. But God will do what? He'll cover your mistakes for you. He'll cover your mistakes because he knows you're in it to win it. But folks that never get in it, they get no benefits and results. I wasn't designed to sit in some church pew looking silly, saying amen to messages. You want to see, is this Bible really real? People say, I don't believe in demons. You can tell they never dealt with any. They never cast any out. They never engaged them. But I don't think, they have to give you a theory about how demons operate. Well, I don't believe a Christian can have a demon. How many have you cast out? Well, none. Well, okay then, shut up. See, unless you've been in it, you're a biblical theorist. We need practicum. I don't want to talk to a guy if I got a real serious problem and I need surgery and he's a theorist. I stayed in the Holiday Inn Express last night. I'm a brain surgeon. How many brain surgeons have you performed? You're the first. But son, put that scalpel down, boy. Put the scalpel down and back away from the table. You'll wake up out of being anesthetized. Hold it. No, man. Don't cut my head, man. Got your head shaved, bald, and everything for the brain surgery. Don't touch my head, man. When you're in this, you need somebody that knows what they're doing. Your eternal destiny is on the line. You can't afford to sit up under somebody that don't know God and know what they're talking about. You got to find somebody that knows what they're talking about in this. You don't need somebody talking theory to you and you're telling you your best life is now and every day is Friday. You know that joker crazy from Jump Street. Because you know good and well, every day ain't Friday for you. And this ain't your best life now. You see how stupid this is? This boob in a flooded city, people have lost everything. He come. Every day is Friday. Your best life is now. Man, they're about to kill you. Man, they're going to beat you to death out here, Joel Osteen. They're going to beat you down, bro. My grandmama drowned. My house and car underwater. You come in. Hallelujah. Your best life is now. Every day is Friday. It's the weekend. I'm going to bust out all your teeth. I'm going to get rid of that smile. I'm going to bust out all 32 of your teeth, man. You're telling me that mess, man. I want to hear that. See how it all goes away? When practicum hits the ground, don't nobody want to hear that mess. But you sitting up there in that big old church yelling and shouting yesterday. Now, you don't want to hear none of that junk. See how it changed? See, God got a way of changing that thing up. You sitting up there thinking it's real in Lakewood. I'll throw you a changeup. You looking for a fastball, I'm going to throw you a changeup. Now let him tell you that junk. He immediately became a clown overnight. 24-hour period, he became the man that was in the head of the game to a clown. Now every time he opens his mouth, he's a clown. What you going to tell those people now? You told them every day was Friday, the best life is now. What's my life looking like now? This is my best life. I don't even have flood insurance, Joel. Now, open up the coffers of this joint and give me some money. Have faith, brother. They're going to get clubs and torches. It's going to be like looking for Quasimodo. And the hunchback, they're going to be looking for that Joker, man, hunting them down in the streets of Houston. Man, you see, when you're dealing with stupid, crazy stuff, it'll run its course and fail. Look at Eddie Long out there. That ran its course, ran out of fuel, fail. You watch, they're going to fall like dominoes from here on out. You watch them one after another, they're going to fall. You watch them fall like dominoes. Everybody's going to be shocked by what they discover when they pull the cover back. God is good at pulling the cover back. Yes. They ain't going to fall that domino. And everybody's going to be all shook up in the religious arena. They're going to be all aghast. And I can't believe. And man, ignore that junk. Because it ain't the church anyway. Why would you pay attention to something that's not even the church? Trying to analyze it. Nobody has time for that now, man. Get full of the Holy Ghost and do the job yourself. Look at this. Hiding in church, mountains and caves and strongholds. The church is a stronghold. And what's a stronghold guarded by? A strong man, and the strong man is armed and extremely dangerous.
So you're sitting in church with a pastor that's a strong man, armed to fend off anybody trying to set you free. You're in a demonic cult calling it the Church of Jesus Christ, having yielded to another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 and following. You got a Jesus, but he's the wrong one. You got a Jesus that's an emotional Jesus. You got a Jesus that's a new age Jesus. You got a Jesus that's a prosperity Jesus. You got a Jesus that says have your best life now Jesus. You got a Jesus that's a woman thou art loose Jesus, a mega fist Jesus. It's all the wrong one. So when the real one shows up, you crucify him. You crucify the Son of Glory, having been made a member of a stronghold guarded by a strong man who is demonically infested and inspired. Most of these so-called preachers are demon-possessed. If you hadn't figured that out yet, I'm here to spread the news that if it feels this good for you being used, they're going to keep on using you till they use you up. You better wake up. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. So you got some folk flooding in against the Israelites, man. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. Exactly what happened to America. The invasion came from the east. It's an oriental invasion. You see how your weave came from India and it was sold to you by somebody from the Orient? You can't even buy your own hair. It's got to be sold from the east. It's an invasion. The gas stations are run by people from the east, the Middle East. The invasion is on, man. You can't see this. It's already happened. Why? Because Americans rebelled against God and forsook his warnings. So he sent in hordes of invaders. Midianites, Amalekites, and invaders from the east. It's already happened. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Till you come unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. So now you're confined in your neighborhood with them selling you everything and you got nothing. You don't have a sheep, an ox, or an ass. You got nothing. Look at the black neighborhoods. You go right off into on Campton Road. You go right off into West End. It used to be prosperous, real viable, you know, arenas full of vitality. They're just dead. Down Cascade, Campton Road, West End, some places over there like in Decatur, along Candler Road, all these were malls that are now nothing more than like little old flea markets. Greenbrier is basically an upscale flea market. Used to be the only mall you went to as a black person. And you drive down Camden Road, boarded up buildings, just destitute, destroyed neighborhoods. And then the invaders come in and sell you stuff and drive back to Duluth and Alpharetta, living in $800,000 mansions, having driven into your neighborhood in a brand new Mercedes or Bentley to sell you hair for your head. And then they drive back to the north side of town with the booty from conquest of the neighborhood. That happened because folk forsook God. Black folks trying to be Hebrew Israelites and Muslims, and they've gone to foreign gods. So therefore, the neighborhoods are destroyed. This cause and effect. And any other cause they're giving you, talking about the white man ain't selling you that hair. The white man didn't do none of this. You got a multi-trillion dollar economic base in the black community with no traction. You can't build a mall, can't build housing, can't build apartment complexes and condos. Where's all the money going? It's all funneled out somewhere else because of idolatry and worshiping demonic gods. That's what's causing it. It's cause and effect. I don't like that. I don't care if you don't like it. It's the truth. So he said they destroyed the substance of Israel. Neither sheep nor ox nor ass was left. They took everything. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Folks sitting up in world changers with the Midianite prince, Creflo Dollar, taking their stuff, and they don't have enough sense to know. The Leroy Thompson and all these shysters are taking their stuff, and they can't even see that's a Midianite prince sent from Satan to make sure you have nothing, and they live high on the hog. You can't see this? How can anybody be this blind, making believe that they are advancing in that arena when you are being brought into an impoverished state, got nothing, while this person has everything, as a Midianite sorcerer, a Midianite warlock, taking your stuff in church, got you paying a tithe, and tithing is not even a New Testament doctrine. There is nowhere in the Bible that the Bible talks about you paying a tithe in the New Testament. So Jesus mentioned tithing. Jesus was talking to Old Testament folk. Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. And he was when Jesus mentions tithing, he ain't talking about money. He's talking about what you bring to the storehouse to provide sustenance for the priest. Because tithing was agricultural. You brought food. He said, you ever read it in Malachi? Providing food for my storehouse. He's talking about literal corn, grain, and food, because the priests then owned land, so they couldn't grow a crop in an agricultural society. So the people were required to bring 10% of their crops to feed the priests. That's all it was. It's not germane to us because we got no temple, we got no priest, and we don't have the need to try to feed nobody with agriculture. Now, you can give a free will offering, but the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Notice how Paul didn't mention tithing not one time. Right, the whole New Testament, he could have brought it up a multitude of times to every church he wrote to. Galatia, Ephesus, Corinth. He could have told them to tithe. He never did. Why? Because it's not germane to the New Testament. But what did these guys do? They reached back into the Old Testament and brought up a doctrine to bind you, to make you feel obligated to give to them so they could get rich off of you and promise you God is going to bless you when he's not going to bless you because you're under the law, which places you under a curse. So they made sure you remain cursed while taking your stuff. So you're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You never get back what you put in like a Las Vegas slot machine. You're giving, thinking you're going to get back. Maybe this week I'll hit. And they always, every January 1st, every New Year's, this is the year of increase. This is the year of the tenfold blessing. This is the year of, man, every year is another year of something that you never get. This is the year of increase in your livelihood. Yeah, they come through prophesying, calling all you false folk. God is showing me, brother, yes, yeah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, brother. Oh, yeah, the aura, the anointing. Oh, yes. The Lord is showing me you and your wife are going to move into another dimension now. And the Lord is moving. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. A hot shot, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Man, get your hot shot ta-ta hand off of me. You're your crazy self. What's wrong with you? We need to revert back to hood. Yeah. Can't talk. Man, get your hands off. What's wrong with you? You're that hot ta-ta-ta mess. You crazy? That's what you need to revert back to, man. You'll stop. You'll avoid all the delusions if you just go back to when you were in the hood, when you used to smoke, when you used to sell that dope in the hood, down at the trap. Just be that guy and sanctify him. And you'll be safe in church. Because can't nobody run no game on you. Don't lose your hood. The hoodology. See, one of the things we're going to teach at Dunamis is hoodology. Hoodology 101. He said, you a teacher. Y'all an expert in that. Finally, you got something I can deal with. Yes. Finally, a topic I'm astute at. Because I was the best at hoodology, buddy. I could run game better than anybody. Because all you got is folk in church running game on folk. Steeped in a bunch of religious gobbledygook that even sounds and looks stupid. Tyler Perry somewhere laying hands on Jake's, and Jake's just like he electrocuted. Then falling out. Tyler Perry, Madea, man. And then Tyler Perry gonna break out speaking in tongues. Ha sha ba ba sha ha ya ha. And Jake's just. But see, Tyler Perry gave him $1 million. That's what Jake was doing there for, like, he was saying, a million, a million, a million, a million. And passing out. This is so stupid. I made fun of it to show you how stupid it is. And folk going for it all day long. Go back to your roots. The hood, man. The hood. When you used to have that cap on one side to the side, you walking down Cool Cat to the hood. Go back to that. Just sanctify that person. Sanctify him. Don't go back to that, but sanctify him. You'll see real good then. And you'll call a spade, not an agricultural instrument. That's a spade, bro. Call it what it is and you'll be safe. These guys are shysters, con men, and all kinds of game runners. That's all they are. And that's, people get offended by that because they're thinking, this is my apostle, this is the bishop, this is elder, that's a clown. And then, you're touching God's anointed. That's brainwashing. Mm-hmm. You're thinking that God's anointed because you've been brainwashed. That dude's a kook, a wacko. He couldn't succeed in any other area in life, so he found a place where he could get over. And he found religion was ripe for the picking. That's all it is, man. Wake up and smell the coffee, because it's brewing real strong on the stove right now. They entered into the land and destroyed it. The Israelites became impoverished in verse 6. And then they had enough sense to do what? Cry unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. That's where we're at right now. There's got to be a cry going up saying, hey, look, under all these austere conditions, with all this destruction, with everything destroyed, leveled to the ground, I got enough sense now to cry unto the Lord because I've hit rock bottom. That the Lord sent a prophet. Look at how God responds. When everybody cries out, he'll find himself a man, a prophet. And the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, who said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. You've been born again and saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb 2,000 years ago. God said, I brought you up out of there. Here you are cycling back and circling back to bondage. I'm trying to bring you up out of here. And here you are submitted to the Midianites and binding yourself again. That's churchology. I'm showing you the church. I brought you up out of the house of bondage and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that did what? Oppressed you. What did they do? They pushed you down.
Yes.
Something in people look to be oppressed. You're trying to lift them up, and they look for oppression. They look for bondage. They look for slavery. When you are rejected and downtrodden, you know oppression is your comfort zone. You'll seek something until you find it. You'll look for oppression, and that's where you feel comfortable when somebody's using you and beating you down. That's normal to you. If you got a slave program running in you, you're going to look for oppression. I mean, it's just total depravity and depression and oppression under somebody like Lil Wayne or Jay-Z, Beyonce. Their lives are a living hell. They live in hell. You don't want to go home. You don't want to go home to live where they live. Yeah, Beyonce got to be smiling in your face thinking, you thinking, that girl goes home to hell. She go home to that dude every night with a stinking cigar, blowing cigar smoke in her face. Talking about 99 problems. You go home to this. Now think about this. You came home today every night. You in the same house with that. That's right, baby. See, even that little baby knows. This stuff is all game that you see on the TV and in the movies, all this happy and all this giddy looking expressions and laughing and joking. These people live in hell. And then you find out they all oppressed, they on drugs, they on psychotropic drugs, they're living in all kinds of mess. Look at Usher. Handsome young fella out there just dancing his heart out, singing and dancing. Now nobody want to be within 10 feet of him. That's how the devil does. He levels you to the ground. I'm just telling you how it works. Now it's time for the boy to cry out. Peradventure God can save his soul. Where did he go when he was looking to be religious? Out there to New Birth with Eddie Long. Where did T.I. go? Out to New Birth with Eddie Long. Why? Because the homosexual was their comfort zone. The rap game is homosexual. All of you guys trying to bring rap into the church, you're a homosexual. That's why you're trying to bring it in. And we don't want your kind and your homosexual spirit up in the church. Leave that hip-hop homosexual filth on the street where you found it. Because we don't allow no homosexuals up in there trying to represent God. Rap is homosexual. It's effeminate. It's a girly man trying to put forth rhymes and lyrics to beats because he's so just destroyed and distraught inside. It's the operation of a mad, effeminate man who got nothing in life. And then all they try to do is transfer those spirits to other people, trying to make it Christian hip-hop and Christian rap. Look, man, either leave the world or stay in it, because you're not importing the world into anything that has anything to do with the kingdom of God.
Yes, that's right.
It ain't happening, because God has got watchmen on the wall.
Yes, that's right.
Who will cry out against you and stop you. If you still are enthralled with that filth, you need to be delivered from a sodomite, homosexual, and lesbian spirit, because that's what's got you. Because that's what it's built on. All these rappers have to spend some time bent over the desk out back. They got to sodomize them to trust them. Look at Lil Wayne, baby. Now, he didn't want to get Tony Braxton. Do you know how leveled down to the ground Tony Braxton got to be with this dude? She got to be leveled down lower than the ground to walk out in public with this joke on her arm. A practicing sodomite, a homosexual, and that's your man. This is bad, buddy. Look how 50 Cent did this girl. Just turned her out and exposed everything she did to him, all this filth she did. They go and tell everything they do to humiliate a woman. They glory in the humiliation of a woman. They live for that, to humiliate and bring a woman down to nothing. They're not satisfied until a woman is destroyed. And then they're happy because they are homosexuals and they hate women. Their songs reflect the fact that they hate women. All they called you is a hoe and a female dog in their songs, because they despise women. And when you have a mindset to degrade yourself to satisfy a homosexual, what in the world have you become? I'm trying to satisfy the pinings and the yearnings of a homosexual man. Doggone, you can't get further down than that. That's rock bottom. And what God has said, I'm trying to lift you up. I had you, you were down in Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. I'm lifting you up from depravity. I'm lifting you up from humiliation. I got a life for you that's going to transcend all of these dirty, low-down Midianites. I'm trying to bring you up higher. Come up higher.
Amen.
Don't get used to being nothing.
That's right.
You can get used to being nothing. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. I drove out all these foreign tribes and gave you their land. He's talking to the church.
Yes.
I drove out the demons, gave you the Holy Ghost, and said, look, come on up higher. And you went back to religion in the church and set up under a demon to get preached it. Golly. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. But you have not obeyed my voice. But you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So he was out there threshing wheat behind the winepress to hide the wheat from the Midianites, because they were taking everybody's wheat. We didn't let you grow your own wheat. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon looking around like, who's he talking to? A mighty man of valor. You must have me confused with somebody else. But see how God calls those things that be not as though they were. He knows he's getting ready to make you. So he's addressing you as what he's going to make you, not as what you are right now. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. That's a normal question. I'm sitting here enslaved, bound by the Midianites and oppressed by them. You calling me a mighty man of valor. If I'm a mighty man of valor and you're talking all this positive stuff to me, why are we bound? Where are the miracles? Where's the power? That's what the church folk are saying. Where is the power? Where is the anointing? Where is God on display? That's a longing inside of a real church person's heart right now. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? I didn't send Joel Osteen. I didn't send Creflo Dollar or Jakes. I didn't send all these folk you sitting up under trying to be instructed. I sent you. That's where the church person has missed it. If he saved you, he saved you to send you. And you're abdicating your responsibility to somebody else. That's why folk don't gather on this by the thousands. Because all I'm going to tell you is, you better get full of the Holy Ghost and go do it yourself. Because I ain't leading you nowhere, not one step anywhere. You get yours and you represent him on Broad Street, on Main Street, on 10th Street yourself. For the first time in your life, you're going to be responsible and accountable for you. And folk just draw back by the thousands. I didn't come for all that now. I came to see, you know, what I could get. I was hoping you'd build a family life center or something where I could go swimming. I wanted a pool in there when you built it. They come for stuff for self. They come for entertainment. They come for self-gratification. They didn't come to join a war. They didn't come to fight the Midianites, the demons. I came to enjoy myself and not engage in any warfare. And guess what? That excludes you. It leaves you out. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said, like the whole group of Midianites, you're going to smite the Midianites like they're one man. That whole army of Midianites, you're going to destroy them all by yourself. One man, one prophet. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that you talk with me. Now he's talking to God and said, now prove to me you're talking to me. Now, I don't know now. I hear a voice and you talking, God, but prove to me it's God I'm talking to. God didn't get mad. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So you see now, God is confirming that this is God. An angel of the Lord is a messenger from the Lord. This is most likely a Christophany. A Christophany is an appearance of Christ before he came in the flesh in the Old Testament. You probably had a Christophany in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys, where Christ appears before he's incarnate, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Because the word angel is not literally having to be an angel, it just means messenger from the Lord. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." So you see now, these are all the images of worshiping false gods. Baal, the groves, all these are representative of the male and female deities that they worshiped, the same ones that Jezebel and Ahab worshiped later on. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." See how the men are bound to false worship? That's why we call them up, and they just sit there stagnant, stymied. They're locked up in churches under effeminate control. See, they either have women over them or homosexual preachers. Most preachers carry a homosexual spirit. You got to know that. They're effeminate. They want other men oppressed under them as concubines. So they want to make you an armor bearer. Want to make you another boy in the church that's under them, like a little concubine, a little girl that's under me. And you see how the men just worship the pastor. Talking about the pastor, like a woman. That's what's happening to them. They've been spiritually sodomized. Illegal entry through their souls, which ripped their hearts out of them, and they got no stand in them. All their virility, all of their testosterone, all of their maleness has been siphoned out of them. And they come to church just like a woman. That's why the real tough guys in the streets don't come to church. Because they can pick up the fact, this guy trying to sodomize me. This guy trying to make me into a woman. He wants me to submit to him like a woman. And you even got men in church talking about a covering. You see, you out somewhere doing something. Who's your covering? Who's your covering? The Bible don't say nothing about a man having a covering. The Bible says the head of every man is Christ. So here you are, brainwashed, sodomized by some dude, sitting up over here at New Birth being sodomized by Eddie Long, and you become effeminate. Sitting out there at Potter's house, sodomized by Jakes, now you're effeminate. Sitting up there with Joel Osteen, sodomized, now you're effeminate. Giggling, girly man. Giggling. That's what's happened. The fight, the punch has been taken out of church because the guys are effeminate. Now they take on a feminine character. They grow their hair long, they wear earrings, they're prissy. They're prissy guys. No punch, no heat. That's where it's coming from. Everything in this culture is designed to effeminize a man, even through school. They start making guys into girly young boys from the kindergarten on. They want to take the punch out of them. If you got any male character, any fight in him, they're pumping full of Ritalin. They're trying to take the fight out of the boy, talking about his ADD or ADHD. He's not ADD or ADHD, he's just a guy. Then needs a man teaching him to yoke him, to bring the boy under proper authority, and redirect that energy toward male things. You need to be out somewhere chopping wood, hunting, fishing, and camping out. That's what it is.